Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're going to hear some stories from people who have been baptized just about an hour ago, and get to hear, you know, why they're being baptized and who Jesus is to them. Some great stories that we're going to hear. But before we do that, we thought we'd take just a few moments and talk about what baptism is, what it means, and why we celebrate it with such vigor. Let's begin by just taking a look at the book of Romans chapter 6, where Paul says this: "We died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus." Baptism is a symbolic step or action involving a personal journey that culminates in a public celebration. So baptism, first of all, is a symbolic step. Baptism is an outward expression of what's already happened in the inner life. And so when people are baptized, nothing's necessarily happening other than an outward expression of what's already gone on in their hearts. And so it's symbolic. Water is involved, and water is a really important theme and reality throughout all of the biblical narrative, both in the Old Testament and in the New. Water, of course, gives us life. Water is also used for cleansing. Most of us, if not all, hopefully, had some kind of shower or bath in the last 24 hours. If not, this room would smell totally different than it does now. And so baptism represents, in a sense, that cleansing of our sin, that washing away of that sin. But more than that, baptism actually harkens back all the way to where the story began, where God liberated a group of people by bringing them through water. That's the Exodus story. The Israelite people cried out under their bondage, under their slavery in Egypt. God heard them and delivered them. He brought them out of slavery and gave them freedom. He did so by bringing them to the Red Sea, parting it, and they moved through it. So baptism represents moving from slavery into deliverance, into freedom, into promise. Just like the beginning of our story. And so we connect with that story when we celebrate baptism in that way. Baptism also has this image of being laid down and then raised back up. And as Paul says in Romans, that's very much connected to our understanding of the fact that Jesus died for us, and he died and took our sin with him, and then he was raised back to life. And so that means that our sinful selves, our sin, our brokenness, all of the death of humanity actually died with Christ. And the promise is that Christ has been raised back to life, and we have been also. Right now we can live, and we will live on in eternity with him also in the glorious life of the Father, as Paul says. So we've got those two symbolic images of water and of death and of life. And so it's a symbolic moment when people are baptized. They're identifying with the story of the God of the ancients, and they're identifying with the story of Jesus and his freedom, his liberation, his new exodus. So it's a symbolic step, and it's a personal journey. It represents a person's collective history. So in a few moments, you're going to hear some stories from a few people, and they're going to stand up here, and they're going to tell you their story. They're going to say, "This is how my life has gone up until this point. This is how God has interacted and engaged with me. This is where he's brought me freedom, where he's brought me life, where he's brought me healing, and where he's brought me hope. And so baptism is a very personal thing. And it must be a personal thing, because to come and stand up here in front of all these people and tell your story is a little nerve-wracking. Also, to get into a river and get wet in front of a whole bunch of people is also kind of weird. So the people that are doing this are really serious about their faith. They're willing to stand in front of you and say, I personally identify with a very personal God who's made significant impact in my life. And they mean, it means that they're identifying with the fact that they were slaves and now they're free. They have moved from death to life. When people get baptized, I love getting to talk with them about it and ask them about their journey with Jesus and ask them about what the gospel means to them. When someone's able to be baptized, it means that they're actually able to communicate clearly and understand what the gospel really is. Otherwise, we don't practice baptism with them. We want to make sure that people really understand the grace of God in their lives. So it's a great personal moment for people. It's a symbolic step in a personal journey. And it culminates in this public celebration. Baptism is communal. It's something that we do together as a church family. It's not something that we do separately. You might think, well, would baptism be the same if I just went down to the river by myself and just walked in and kind of dunked myself and walked back up? Well, it'd be kind of weird also. The boaters down there might have some questions for you. Why are you doing that? But no, it wouldn't be the same. Because baptism actually is a symbol and a bit of a reflection of the Christian life. And baptism is a communal thing because a Christian life is a communal thing. Baptism isn't a solitary thing because a Christian life is not a solitary thing. It's a familial thing. We're all in this together. We're brothers and sisters. We're part of a human family. And God is our Father. And He smiles on us when we come together and celebrate these kinds of moments. Christianity is about recognizing the hurt and the pain and the sorrow and understanding that God grieves with us in that. But it's also about celebration. It's also about the fact that He has given us life when we were previously walking in death. And so we get to celebrate together. We all get to do this together. We are all, as Paul says in Romans, made alive in Christ. That's a we. That's all of us. And that's really good news. So we celebrate. We celebrate. It's important. That's why we're having a picnic at the end of the last service there, because we want to come together and celebrate. And we want to eat. And eating's important when we celebrate. Can I get an amen for that? Eating is a good thing. So baptism is a symbolic step in a personal journey that culminates with this public celebration. So as we celebrate, I'm going to encourage you today, when people come to share their story, to just cheer your guts out for them. Because this is a big moment for them. It's a big moment where they're recognizing what God has done, and they've invited you here, they want you to be here, and you are their family. Just as we blessed and stood with the Legacy family as we prayed over Lachlan, we want to bless and celebrate these people as well. So just cheer your guts out, hold out big cards if you've brought them. If you need to make one on your bulletin, go ahead and do that. Whistle, do whatever you like. We want to make sure people feel loved. We're so glad that you're here, and Doug's going to introduce our folks who've been baptized today.
These stories are narratives. I love stories. We often have Story Sunday here because they are profound and they are deeply personal. These stories will serve to encourage you, which is great. And if you are here today and you are in search of truth, maybe you aren't a believer in Jesus at this point and you're just wondering, our hope is that these stories will also serve as an invitation for you to look towards this truth and to see what has happened in the lives of those who are going to testify to knowing this Jesus who actually has transformed their lives forever. So I'm really happy to begin with Bernard Solberg. Come on up, Bernard. Bernard's a great guy, and this is his story.
Hello. It's always deeper than I think it is. Hello. Okay. My name is Bernard Solberg. My story is one of continual learning, and the tale of my journey towards baptism is one of wrong place, wrong time. There is no great turning point that I can attest to, so you're lucky I only have like 3 minutes to talk, so. That would make telling this tale a lot easier. There's just my life. I was born into a Christian family, grew up going to church and attending Sunday school, and then youth group after that. When I was a child in Victoria, we were attending a Baptist church where their tradition is to confirm children when they're children and then baptize as adult. However, when I was in grade 3, we moved to Abbotsford and began attending an Anglican church where they're pretty much the exact opposite. So I kind of missed the boat on just automatically getting baptized. So thus it would have to be my decision to get baptized. Though as a child and a youth, I didn't really care. I also didn't really understand. I didn't get what grace was, didn't know why I needed these things. It wasn't until I became a young adult and started making real mistakes that I realized I needed God. I said my story was one of continual learning, and that makes itself evident in many ways. When I made mistakes and sinned, I learned more about God's grace and patience. When I suffered from depression and was suicidal, I learned more about God's peace and kindness. When times were tough and I stumbled and fell, I learned that if you let him, God will always be there to pick you up and walk with you. Growing up, I didn't really have a father figure. And living with only my mother and sisters, I didn't really have a male role model either. I struggled with this for a long while, dealing with death in the family around the same time. Though eventually I began to see God as a father figure, turning to him when I needed comfort and advice, and had Jesus as a role model for how one should act and serve and love. A passage from the book that my sister and her husband gave me to be a Christian in Anglican Catechism states that Jesus names the Holy Spirit Paraclete, which means the one alongside, and this signifies comforter, guide, counselor, advocate, and helper. And I think we could all use a friend like that. When I finally decided I wanted to be baptized several years ago, that was when a great shift was happening in the church I was attending, and timid little me, I didn't want to be a bother. Then when things had settled, the church had changed a bit, and it was no longer what I remembered it to be. I didn't feel like I belonged. Fast forward to a year or so ago, and I found my way to Living Waters with the help of some wonderful friends. And I immediately felt at home. The sermon on my first Sunday was on generosity, which is a big part of my life. I want to follow Jesus as my mentor and example, and I was baptized in water just an hour ago, as he was, as a symbol of my commitment, like a marriage ceremony. I'll leave you with John 15:15-17. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Thank you.
So I'm going to ask Ashley Hawks to come, and Ashley is going to share her story. Come on up.
My name's Ashley Hawks. I never remember being without God. At 4 years old, my mom asked me if I had asked Jesus into my heart. I frowned and I thought, that is a bizarre question. Literally thinking of a door on my heart. Isn't God everywhere? Concerned I lacked understanding, I decided to pray to myself before bed that night. I prayed, Jesus, I invite you in my heart and I love you. I don't remember feeling different, but I felt I had covered my bases. I had a deep trust God already knew me, and he knew my love for him. Looking back, I'm forever grateful to my mom that she raised me in the womb covered in his love, that I knew him at my earliest comprehension. To be vulnerable with you, I wanted to be baptized for a long time, but I lacked trust in the church to do that. During my teen years, I poured my heart and soul into the church community. However, when my family was in time of crisis and we were falling apart, I felt the church wasn't there for us. We were hurting each other, and mostly from my perspective over what was right and what was wrong. I felt fear, accountability, and doctrine were found more prominent in our church interactions, and as a result, put more gas on the fire than water. I became skeptical of the church and even worse, feared my own ability to discern truth. I blindly trusted our pastor and as a result put him on a pedestal he didn't belong on. He had a flawless reputation and a congregation of pressure to withstand, which is a tough place for anybody and their families to be perfect. When I met my boyfriend, Adam, he often spoke of coffees with Pastor Doug. I began to live vicariously through their coffees, hearing words of wisdom and love and care that Doug shared for Adam and poured into his life. It became evident to me that Doug was different. He showed an example of a leader who's willing to put to be a human, to let people be people and let God show up. He didn't put God in a box and he didn't expect the same experience for everybody. Along with the rotating pastors here at Living Waters, I've been so encouraged with the humanness of our leaders. This past year has been like no other for me. I've journeyed through Freedom Session with six incredible women. It was there God showed me what an authentic community can look like. We journeyed into the deep fears and unknowns of our lives and faced our failures and hurts. It was there that God reshaped my identity. He transformed my identity from being a girl who thought it best to stick our heart in a chest in the deep, deep ocean so no one could find it, and changed me into a woman who loves deeply, lives freely with great purpose. My facilitator, Pam, had prayed for me, a prayer that was so accurate I broke down. How does a God-fearing woman hear from God a message from me? I see now God was building my trust back into him first. He taught me how intricate his body of believers can work together and how we can enrich each other's lives and can edify and lift up one another to grow closer to God. God also brought me to Azusa, April 9th. Lou Engold described that day as God has a date with his church, and he did. For the first time in my life, I experienced miraculous signs and wonders that Peter spoke of in Acts. Mind-blowing physical healing and knowledge I've never seen before. It wasn't an Old Testament thing. He's doing this now. I now look back at my church years and I see God there. He still spoke to me. He still moved through me. I also look back and have compassion for those in that church. I see that they are too just people who don't know what they don't know. And they are more afraid of, they move in fear and they move worried about change. I think now more than ever, God is moving through churches and breathing life there. I believe he's calling his people to trust him more and lean into him and not fear. I'm not ashamed to be a Christian anymore, and I see now how he loves his bride. I see how God has got this, and he wants to plug us into his story now. And with key roles, he's bigger than our drifting churches and our bad branding. He's bigger than all of us, and yet his love is so intentional. I believe people need love first, and that should be our reputation. For the greatest of these is love, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Baptism to me is the laying down of my old self of fear, confusion, hurt, coping mechanisms, doubt, and worthlessness, and stepping into life. A love, forgiveness, compassion, truth, strength, signs and wonders, unabounding grace, and the wholehearted love of my true Father. He has rewritten my story and painted my life with his colors, and it is all so beautiful. I have come so that they may live and have life and have it abundance. John 10:10. I think baptism is also something beyond my full comprehension, just as the question was when I was 4. And I will move forward in faith because I want nothing to hinder the Holy Spirit in my life. I am all in.
Nicola Heidelbreck is going to come and share. Come on up, Nicola. Let's give her a good warm welcome, everybody.
Good morning. My name is Nicola, and this is my story. I grew up in a Christian home with parents that raised me in the Christian faith. We lived on a goat farm in rural Saskatchewan, just outside the city of Saskatoon. I have two younger sisters, and the three of us are really tight. The most influential people in my faith journey have been my parents, in particular my mom. We attended Westgate Alliance Church in Saskatoon during all of my growing up years. Both my parents were heavily involved in the church. My mom was on the worship team playing piano, and she helped with every kids program possible. She ran the children's choir, she led the children's Christmas productions, and she led music for VBS each summer. My dad was the behind-the-scenes guy who was behind everything. He made coffee every morning at church, and he helped take the offering. We attended church every Sunday during my growing up years, and my sisters and I always attended Sunday school. During these years, I took part in the Vigosen Scripture Memorization Program, which was a 3-year program for kids in grades 4, 5, and 6, and I really got to know my Bible as a child through this program. In junior high, I began reading a series of books called the A Life of Faith novels, and they really encouraged me to grow in my faith. My parents had always taught me that what defined my faith was my relationship with God, not works or practices or the fact that my parents were Christians. These books really challenged me to see what that looked like and how I could live that out. When I was in grade 8, my family moved to a different area of Saskatchewan, and this move was really difficult as we had to change schools and change churches. My faith grew a lot during these next few years as I really delved into reading my Bible, and I strived to live out my faith every day. I was always very academic as a kid, and I knew from the time that I was 7 years old that I wanted to be a teacher. After graduating high school, I went to Bible school. My experience in Bible school was terrible, and it was nothing like I expected a Bible school experience to be. After being greatly disappointed, I ended up not returning to Bible school second semester. After this, I went through a period of frustration. Frustration with God that I had made a move to really pursue Him and had been disappointed, and frustrated because I really missed being in school. The following fall, I went off to Trinity Western University here, where my experience was everything that I could have possibly hoped for and more. I entered into the education program here at Trinity with a double major in education and music. In my second year, I fell in love with my French courses, and shortly after, long story short, I experienced a calling from God to pursue languages, and I began to study Spanish as well, switching my degree, my music major, into a world languages major. From this, I learned that God is faithful. When He has a plan, He follows through, and He made it possible for me to finish a 6-year workload in 5 years. He provided me with experiences that I never would have had otherwise, traveling abroad while working on both my education degree and my languages degree. One such experience was my travel study to Cameroon, Africa, which I did in the summer of 2015. One of the things we got to do on this trip was teach in an international school where many missionaries' kids attended. And through this experience, I knew that God was calling me into international teaching. After a summer of traveling and classes, I began my 4th year of university at Trinity and was really feeling the need to connect with the church and make it my church home. One Sunday morning last September, I was feeling rather down. A couple of friends had invited me to attend another church with them, but I had said no, knowing it didn't feel right, even though what I was really looking for was a solid group of Christian friends to attend church with. I almost didn't go to church at all that Sunday morning, but I ended up coming to Living Waters by myself, like I had for the past few weeks. When I walked into church that morning, a woman approached me. She said, "I don't normally attend Living Waters. I actually go to another church. But when I woke up this morning, I knew that I needed to come here because God had a word for someone. I didn't know who it was or what the message was, but as soon as I saw you, I knew it was you. God wants you to know that this is going to be your church home and you're going to find the connections that you need here." So she went on to tell me more, but that was the basis of it. That Sunday, you guys were promoting life groups, and I ended up being invited to attend one that Addison Fazook and Rachel Tapp were leading. Although reluctant to go the first week, I went, and God provided me with the amazing, solid group of friends that I needed, who are all here today. Having found a church family, now felt like the right time to be baptized. I want to follow Christ for the rest of my life. This fall, I will be doing my professional year at Trinity, and I really want to serve God through the career path that He's guiding me through. I want to be a reflection of Him through who I am as an individual, how I interact with others, and how I can exemplify His love and joy. Thank you.
Jonas Hill, where are you, Jonas? Oh, you're over there. Come on up. Jonas is going to share.
So I'm just going to make this short and sweet. So I grew up in the church as long as I can remember. People around me growing up always getting baptized. And this is something I've actually really wanted to do for a very long time, but never really felt that I needed to, that I was in the right place to make the step. These past few years have been a really rough road for me, actually. Especially things that I've gone through have definitely been shaking my faith and made me the man that I am today. Back about 4 years ago in the summer of grade 12, I lost about 35 pounds. and I was actually diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which currently is actually an incurable disease. Especially being an active guy like me, hiking, running, climbing, it really shook my faith that I was unable to kind of do the things I love to do anymore for a period of time. And but through that struggle and pain, that I actually found forgiveness and strength. It's been a very long journey up to this point, but I've worked through it, and it's not stopping me now. And I attended the same church, Cedar Grove Baptist, for about 18 years, and up to about the same time, actually, I ended up leaving the church for personal reasons. And I started church shopping. So I was going to different churches. I went to a bunch in the Lower Mainland. I never really felt the right fit until about November of last year. I was up at my camp slaughtering pigs, and I met this girl, and she invited me to go to Living Waters. Super random, not very romantic, but hey, I ended up here anyways. And ever since that first Sunday, I just fell in love. I just loved the church community and how much I feel at home and loved. And then after I walked in that first Sunday, I felt like God told me this is the church that I was going to call home. And I've decided to make the step. At the beginning of the summer, who I believe was Luke, was introducing kind of the summer series. And I decided back on the first day that I was going to be baptized today. So that's kind of the step that I've chosen to take. This baptism for me is a symbolic way to leave my broken past behind me and start my relationship with God fresh again. These past 5 months have been a turning point in my relationship with God, and I've really started pressing in and making my faith my own. This is a natural step for me, as it's been a long road up to this point. I feel like God is calling me to make the step in my walk with Him, and one that I'm very willing to take. So,
thanks, Jonas. Well done.
Arden Holmes is going to come and share her story next with us. Arden, whereabouts are you? You were over there. We've gotten to know Arden over the summer as she's been interning here, and it's been a delight and just a delight to see you baptized today.
Thank you. Yeah, it was awesome to be baptized today, and I'm just so thankful for the opportunity. So I'll just tell you a bit about my story. My name's Arden. I'm 22 years old, and I've been attending Living Waters since April 2014. Some of you might recognize me from when you drop your kids off downstairs or from arts camp. Yes, I was the one in the cupcake costume. And it's just been an amazing blessing, and I've loved teaching and getting to know your children. And the best part is I get to learn and grow with them as well as we prepare lessons for Sundays, and I get to teach them sometimes. And it's been awesome being able to grow in that way. So I grew up in Langley, raised by my mom, Teresa. I was a dancer, a swimmer, and I had a passion for learning and teaching from the beginning. My mom moved me from Montessori schooling to Langley Christian when I was in grade 6. We attended a church for 6 months at this time, mostly out of necessity, where I was plunked into Sunday school. But I did not learn the love, grace, and guidance God has for me that I'm starting to learn now. I didn't really learn this at school either, and we attended Bible class a lot. I mean, a lot. And I'm sure maybe they did teach it, but I wasn't really absorbing a whole lot of it because I had zero base of knowledge of God or theology at this time. So in this environment, I felt quite weird and kind of awkward. I had no idea what God was doing in my life and what my faith would come to mean to me, especially now. I struggled a lot as I identified a lot in my friends, and I was looking for love in a lot of wrong places. I was always worried if my friends liked me, if I was saying the wrong thing, if I was wearing the wrong thing, and I was just obsessed with being liked. And at times, I still struggle with this. I was willing to change who I was to be liked by others. I once had a friend who convinced me that I needed to straighten my hair to be liked. I had no clue God was there all along. Years later, in my first year of university, I was so excited. I wanted to join clubs, meet new friends, study hard, and I ended up joining the rowing club because the river is right here in Fort Langley, by my house. It looks like a great workout. Was perfect. So for the past 4 years, I actually dedicated my life to training 5+ days a week, often twice a day. But it was the ultimate thing about joining the rowing club is that through my team, I came to know Christ. with the help of some very special people. Because rowing is a varsity sport with varsity-level training, there's also varsity-level parties, and my teammates seem to live for them. It was so easy to get caught up in the stereotypical university activities and the mindset that everyone does it, and if you don't, you're really weird. I was at a big end-of-the-season party, and all my friends were there, and we were ready to cut loose. But the party wasn't actually fun at all. I spent most of the night following one of my friends around, making sure she didn't get into trouble. I noticed during this party, out of the corner of my eye, there was a small group of my teammates in another room, separated from everyone else. And they were watching a Disney movie. And I was like, a Disney movie at a college party when there's all this other stuff going along? And I thought this was kind of weird, but I was curious. So I went over to talk to them. I had a lot of questions. And I was, at this time, I was starting to learn a bit more about their faith as they were sharing with me and asking questions about me. And they eventually invited me to join their group, Athletes in Action, which is a Bible study at my university. And I really loved these meetings. I loved hearing the messages, discussing, and I was able to reflect and connect the message to my own life. 2 weeks after joining, I ended up going along with them to their retreat. And I kind of took a leap of faith because I wasn't really sure, like, if I was really supposed to be going because I wasn't really there yet, but it was fine. I ended up loving it. And what I took away from the retreat, as Bernard mentioned in his testimony, that God is my Father. He's unwavering in his love, and he is good. I can talk to him about anything, and his grace is never ending. His love is what I had been searching for all along. And I'm so ready now to spend the rest of my life serving, following, and glorifying God in all that I do. And most of all, learn from the Bible and grow stronger in my faith. I have been blessed with an ability to work with children, teaching, playing, having fun. And I feel immense joy being able to serve here in my community. And in about 2 years' time, I'll be a certified elementary school teacher. So I'll be able to serve all over in the community. So I'm just very thankful for that. And I'm thankful to know that the Living Waters community is by my side through this journey. Thank you for listening. And if you have any questions about my story or words of encouragement, I'd love to hear from you.
Well, the youngest to be baptized today is Justice Stewart, and Justice is going to come and share her story. So you may ask the question, how old do you need to be baptized? And really, for us, there's a conversation that occurs. We think it's important that whoever is going to be baptized really understands what baptism is all about, that they understand who Jesus Christ is as their Lord and Savior. And so there is sort of no magic number, but we do spend some time to talk things over with one wanting to be baptized and parents and so on. And so we had that opportunity of talking with Justice, and we're just so proud of this young one who was baptized today as the smallest, but we didn't lose her down the river at all. We held on to her and it was all good. So let's give Justice Stewart a good warm welcome, please.
This is a very special young lady, and it was just a privilege today to be able to baptize her. She just loves Jesus, and today she just did a great job, and I know she's going to do awesome at sharing her story here.
Thank you. I accepted Jesus into my life when I was 5 during quiet time at school. When I got home, I told my parents what had happened, and they were, and I quote, deeply moved and filled with joy. We talked and prayed about it. My parents were a huge part in me accepting Jesus, even though they weren't there to witness it. They always talked to me about Jesus, prayed with me, and took me to church every Sunday. When I was in grade 2, my family went through a very difficult time. It was the hardest time of my life. I learned at this time how important it is to rely on God in all situations. And because I had a relationship with Jesus, I was able to get through it. Now when I am faced with hard times, like when someone hard happens at school or one of my friends or sibling hurts me, I remember how much God took care of me during the hardest time of my life, and I remember how close he is. I think about Psalm 40, verse 1 to 2, which says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. I feel God's calling to make a public commitment to him. I plan to have a relationship with Jesus for the rest of my life. I believe he died and rose again for me, and I want to be able to tell other people how amazing God is. Thank you.
Jennifer, come on up. Jennifer is going to share her story. Jennifer Robinson. We were delighted to baptize you this morning, and now, Jen, we're excited to hear your story.
All right. Thank you. I'm so excited to be baptized today and to get to share my story with you guys. I've been attending Living Waters for the past 4 years, and every time baptism would come up, I really wanted to get baptized, but I actually had been baptized as a teenager, so I thought, probably not. So I'll share a bit of why I got to this point today. I grew up in a Christian home, and I knew who God was from a young age and decided to ask him into my heart when I was 8 years old. I grew up in a Pentecostal church that focused on living a holy life, but didn't focus as much on understanding how good and gracious and loving God is. My concept of God was shallow and obscure and gleaned mostly from what I could process at that age, very black and white. So one of the teachings that they had there was that you could lose your salvation. So at my processing level then, I thought every bad choice I did, every disobedient action, bad attitude, that I was just bound for hell and God had rejected me. By the time we transitioned to a new church in my preteen years, I had all of the outward appearance of being a Christ follower and knew all the right answers, but I was terrified of doing the wrong thing and not going to heaven. I remember asking God into my life and praying to be saved every youth event, every altar call, because of my fear of being separated from him. In my mind, God was just and strict and removed and knew me better than I knew myself, but he had little interest in me unless I did all the right things. But I still sensed that life was better with him than apart from him. Around that time, my younger brother decided to be baptized in our new church, and I also signed up because I was almost 15 and everybody else had done it, and I thought this would be one more way that I could prove that to God that I loved him and ensure that he loved me. Mistakenly, I believed that that baptism was just another ritual or rite of passage that would earn me his love and favor. So when I was baptized the first time, it was motivated out of a lack of understanding and didn't hold as much meaning for me. To sum up the years after that, I always desired and tried to prioritize my relationship with God, but I never really knew who he was, not closely and intimately. And throughout my teen and young adult years, I went to a Christian school and then to Trinity Western University, and as much as that broadened my concept of who God was, I still lacked a closeness that I really craved. It wasn't until 2006 that a turning point came. I was nearing the end of my degree at Trinity and was so tired of trying to be good enough and do all the right things, and yet I felt so distant from God and from other people. I didn't really like who I was then. I was a people pleaser, and I never really let people see me or know the real me because I was terrified of being rejected and not loved if they really knew everything about me. I suppose if you think that God is waiting to reject you, then you have little faith in human beings' capability of loving you unconditionally. That fall, a friend invited me to join a program with her called Freedom Session at South Point Church. Although it was one of the hardest years of my life, God used that program and those people to help me face my past, all of it. He showed me where he was in the midst of my pain and loneliness, and he showed me the freedom that only he could give if I would allow him to love me. Instead of condemnation, I found mercy, and instead of rejection, he offered me love. That year, I started to hear from him when I'd pray, and slowly my habits, my responses, my ability to love or be patient, all of those things began to change. The last 10 years have been an incredible journey of growing, loving, and forgiving, and really healing. It's amazing to see how much God has changed the relationships in my life, like really just the patterns, everything that used to be my normal has started to grow and develop and get healthy. I can't fully express the joy that I've felt in the last few years, knowing that I'm just so deeply flawed, which is hard to admit as a perfectionist, but I'm so infinitely loved. It's the most freeing thing. As a people pleaser, you can imagine that's a hard truth to accept. The last 10 years haven't been easy either. I've experienced love and loss, pain, ruined and damaged relationships, serious health issues in my family, but I honestly have never felt peace like I do now. In the last year, I've been reading a lot of the Old Testament, and I'm always intrigued about the concept of building altars. Whenever God would bring the Israelites through a difficult or impossible situation, they would build an altar to remember what he had done. I now see my desire to be baptized these last few years as my longing to build an altar. I want to celebrate all of the ways that God has healed me and being so loving and so good to me. I also want to serve this day to serve as a reminder of God's faithfulness. As I'm stepping out into kind of a scary and exciting season in my life, for the past 10 years, I've told God that I'd go wherever he would lead me. That led me to Dawson Creek, BC, and then to this church, and next year it'll lead me overseas to teach and do missions. I want to thank all of my family and friends who have made it out to hear my story today. God has been able to heal my heart because of your love and your support. God, and I want to thank the pastors here for their love, support, and prayers. This church has just been a safe haven for me for the past 4 years, and I'm so grateful for all the people here. In closing, I just wanted to share a few verses from one of my favorite scriptures. Before God started this huge transformation, somebody gave me this scripture to hold on to, and it foreshadowed everything he would do in my life, and I can look back and see his promises, but it also holds incredible promise for all of us. It's from Isaiah 62. Regarding Zion, I can't keep my mouth shut. Regarding Jerusalem, I can't hold my tongue. Until her righteousness blazes down like the sun and her salvation flames up like a torch. Foreign countries will see your righteousness and world leaders your glory. You'll get a brand new name straight from the mouth of God. You'll be a stunning crown in the palm of God's hand, a jeweled gold cup held high in the hand of your God. No more will anyone call you rejected, and your country will no longer be ruined. Where we see ruin, he sees possibilities. When we've given up, he's just starting to make something beautiful. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Jen.
Wow. We love and appreciate you here. Thanks so much. That was great sharing. Awesome. All right, well, Michael Francisti is going to come now, and Mike, it's your turn, and he's been waiting to be the last all day, and so let's give Michael a good warm welcome, eh?
I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but I like to believe that God has always been in my life. That it was just out of ignorance that I failed to notice his presence, unaware of his love, his peace, and his patience. This lack of awareness for God led me to live a life that was for myself. Every decision was for my benefit and not for anyone else's. I did not care to know God. I did not feel like I needed him. And it wasn't until high school when I met a girl, Chantal, that I became introduced to who God really was. Over many late night conversations, she explained the gospel, and she explained to me who God really was. It was through getting to know her that I first experienced what it was really like to meet someone who follows Jesus. So a little bit of context. We both grew up on Vancouver Island. After high school, we actually started dating. I stayed and went to college in Victoria, and she came over here and attended Trinity Western University. So I would spend most weekends over here visiting her on campus, and it was through these visits that God first revealed to me what it was like to be part of a Christian community. I was introduced to a lot of people at Trinity, very friendly. Her friends were so different from what I thought I knew. They looked upon me without judgment. They genuinely cared and wanted to get to know me for who I am as a person. Over time, I ended up staying with one of the guys' dorms on campus. It was such an unexpected experience for me, to meet men who weren't defining themselves by the world's standards of manliness. Men who built each other up. Men who encouraged and strengthened each other's faith. Men who followed Jesus. Seeing this contrast of people and community that was so far from what I was used to was completely eye-opening. I really began to like the idea of Christianity. I didn't understand everything about it, but I just had this feeling. I saw the impact it had on others' lives, and I realized what they had. I wanted that. I was then at a point in my life where I thought I knew what I believed, and I just struggled to understand why I believed what I thought I did. And this is when God started to reveal himself to me in a more personal way. I was attending a church on the island for about a good month when it came time to do communion. I was still fairly new to the church scene at the time, and I was terrified by this thought. I remember I was sitting, sweat forming on my forehead, frozen in place, watching this tray of grape juice and crackers make its way from one person to the next, heading right for me. I panicked. All that I could think of was that I wasn't Christian enough. Like, I wasn't there. I'm not ready to take communion. Someday I might be, but that day was not today. I didn't know what to do. I was frozen. I just decided I should pray. I started praying. It was in that very moment of prayer that God tore down my defenses and he struck my very core. It just became so obvious. He revealed that I would never be this perfect Christian that I'd formulated in my mind. That I will never be without flaw, but that I need to understand that this is why Jesus offers us this gift. In that instant, God called me to partake in communion. He put in my heart the desire to pursue a relationship with him. He filled me with hope. This was a really big step in my faith. And there have been a few more steps from then to now. I moved to Langley last October, connected with Ruben here, became invested in the community, joined a life group with Living Waters. I've met a lot of amazing people, and I experience acceptance and love from them every single day. I've grown to understand that the changes God makes within me are really slow moving, and that it may take me years to understand what he is doing in the present. It makes life confusing, and I definitely don't feel like I have things figured out. But I know that I have to trust that what God is doing, he is doing for me. So here I stand, recognizing the call from God to be baptized today. I am here to say to God and to all of you, I am here. I recognize that I am not perfect and that I never will be. I am here, broken before you. That through you and you alone, God, I will be made whole. I know I will face trials in my future, and I may stray from my paths, but I know that I am forgiven because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. God, I am here. Send me. And I had a little segment here that I was going to read from the Bible. Turns out Luke read it. So I'm going to read it again because I do feel like it was really important to me during the preparation for this. So it is Romans 6, 4-6. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin.
Thank you so much for sharing. You know, you embodied today what we believe is absolutely central to us in family life here, and that you are very authentic and real. So thank you for sharing. Well done. Well done. Once again, I want to say thank you for coming out today and being a part of this. It's very cool. We're going to leave this place now and head over to the park and just sort of join in with others as we celebrate today and God's goodness. But would you stand and let me just pray with you before we head over? So good to have you in the house today. And remember, if you are new here to Living Waters, if there's anything that we can help you with, please let us know. We would love to make you feel right at home here, and we're always available for you. Jesus, what an amazing day this has been. 9 of your own baptized. Lord, the stories have been powerful, and they have been moving and life-changing. And we're thankful, Lord, for how you move in our lives and how you transform us. And you give us hope, Lord, that you're the one that just clears away all of the lies and allows for truth to be spoken. And we're so thankful to you today. So we go from this house, God, knowing that you are who you say you are. You are God, and you are amazing, and you love us deeply more than we'll ever know. So God, go with us now, we pray. We pray for an amazing picnic together and time to fellowship. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness in our lives. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.